go for it. And I really appreciated their support because it made more work for other people. I mean, let's face it, I'm not around. Luann's doing everything. And so same with the church, with Barry and Scott. They have a lot to do. So thank you, and for your financial support and for your prayer support. It was much needed, I'll tell you. It was much needed. But God is faithful. This is our team. And that was our route. You knew all about that. It ended up being 3,700 miles total that we biked. Personally, I did over 3,900 because I would go out in the morning before the team would actually be riding, and I would spend some time with the Lord on my bike, just warming up, making sure my bike was working well, and praying for my family and all of you and the team. And so I ended up with about over 3,900 miles. Of course, it's me. This is Micah Clark. This is Micah Lapp. That's Liam, Zach. Al was my roommate. And Michelle, she was the one that coordinated and led the whole thing, put it all together. Monty, Xander, AJ is Al's son, and Jared. You can go to the next slide. We met at Community Fellowship Church off of Route 30 one afternoon in the summer. That's Lee DeReamer talking to us all. He prayed for us. We all hopped in a van, rode to Philadelphia, hopped on Alaska Airlines, flew to Seattle, and from Seattle to Portland. And next slide. Michelle and her parents, Ed and Shirley, drove the van and the trailer with all our bikes and all our gear cross-country before we got there. So our bikes and our bags were all waiting for us in Astoria, Oregon. And so her folks then spent a week there vacationing and then flew home. And so the van and everything else was out there. This is the adults on the team. Ken's a retired dairy farmer. He was the driver. Gingrich. He is right outside of Landisville. And this is Denise. She was the mother of Xander, and she was also in the van. And of course, Michelle and Al rode. And so that's our team. So this van basically was there to pick up anybody that needed to be picked up, which they needed to be picked up sometimes. And during the day, our bags would be in the van, and at night we'd put our bikes, but there was these hooks that we'd hang the bikes up in the van and lock it up so we wouldn't lose it. And that's how we went across the country with this van. The actual trailer is with the Al is the leader of the group in New Holland. And that's where they store their bikes at the New Holland group. So we just used that for the summer. You can go to the next slide. Al and his son AJ met us a day later. We were out a day before, and so we kind of rode around Astoria, and that evening went out to the beach. And this is Michael Lapp. He's from New Holland, and he was writing in the sand, and I thought, oh, that's a great picture, and I just took that one. So the next slide. So Astoria is where we were staying, but we had to take the van and bike, get all the bikes to the beach. This was Sunset Beach in Oregon, and it was raining the whole way to the beach. I'm thinking, what a great start to our trip. It was raining pretty hard sometimes as we're driving to the beach. When we got to the beach, it was still overcast, but the rain stopped. I thought, thank you, Lord. And so we kind of took our bikes out across the beach. The tradition is this: when you do a cross-country ride, you dip your back tire in the ocean where you're leaving from, you ride across the country, and then you dip your front tire in the other ocean, Atlantic Ocean. So here we are in the Pacific Ocean, dipping our back tires in the beach. And this is just scenes from Astoria. Okay, let's go to the next slide. The morning of the ride, when we actually started after we dipped our tires, Lee had a retired Air Force friend that lives out there, and his wife, great Christian man, and he shared with us a little bit and then prayed for us as we started our journey. this whole journey was really wrapped in prayer, and it was needed, and God was faithful. He shared some awesome things to this man, really a man of God, and it was really, really encouraging. And so we started the trip. Go to the next slide. And it rained. 5 of the first 7 days it rained on us, and it was cold. These are my winter gloves. They're thermal gloves, and they have 2 fingers together. They look kind of strange, but these two were together to help keep you warm, and I was still cold in my rain jacket, and you can see the wet roads. Yeah, next slide. This was the Columbia River. It separated Oregon to Washington State. We only were in Oregon 1 day. At the end of the first day, we actually made it to the state of Washington. So, and as you look across the Columbia River, this was a paper factory or a log processing factory. There's a lot of them, because that's a big business out there, all the logging. So next slide. And with the logging, there's log trucks. And the log trucks, as they go along, drop all their debris. And you can see, this is where we're supposed to be riding. This is the bridge that takes you from Oregon to Washington. And look at what we got to ride through, or ride in the traffic. So we opted for the bark and tried to dodge where we could. Eventually, we did get some sun, and this is kind of how we rode. Most times we rode single file. If it was a back road and there was a wide shoulder, we could go 2x2 at the most. But just kind of line up and go. Oftentimes, I would be in the lead, but not always. Sometimes in the middle, sometimes in the back. Usually, Al would be in the back, and I would lead. And that's how we went. And Oregon, Washington, of course, very forested, very green, very beautiful. Next slide. And always in the distance, you look up and you see the mountains. That's Mount Rainier. And picture from looking out when we're riding along. And one evening, we're walking to dinner, and I saw this big Sasquatch statue, because my kids always kid me about Sasquatch and all that kind of stuff, because I watch Bigfoot shows and stuff on TV. So whenever there's something like this, we get pictures. So and you can see we're all in fleeces and stuff, because it was chilly. Next slide. We had, of course, a lot of uphill. There's a lot of mountains in Washington State. And we went up some different passes and so forth. And this is at the top one. Michael Lapp just was done, just laying there. Oh, but and past snow-capped mountains and waterfalls, and just beautiful. Really, it was. And you can see here with the road. Oftentimes, they would have rumble strips, and rumble strips wide enough that it took up the whole shoulder. It's like, where they expect us to go, you know? You can see no biker designed that. But so if it wasn't too bad, we'd just be to the left of the white line as we would bike. Okay, next slide. We would stay in various motels and places. This was a ski lodge. It was the only place that was available on our route. It was at the top of this mountain, of course. And it was basically closed for the season because there was no more. There was some snow around, but so that's our gang in front of the lodge. And then this particular lodge, there was no restaurants nearby at all. So this place where we stayed actually had a kitchen and a table that pulled out. And so we made lasagna and salad and just made our own meal for ourselves. And it was Monty's birthday that day, so we gave him a cupcake with a match on it. Next slide. There they are on the left having a snowball battle. You can imagine. These kids, although they bike all day, they still had energy. And every night I would have a devotion after dinner, and we'd have it all kinds of places. This particular spot had a fire ring that we used. I did 48 devotions in all. Each kid was assigned a devotion the week that they were the ride guide. There would be one boy for a week, and they would, after the devotions, they would say, tomorrow, this is what we're going to be doing. We're going up so many thousand feet of elevation at this mile and this mile where you have these scenic things to see or these historic things to see. And they'd tell us how much to send and all those kinds of things. And then they would also do one devotion during the week. Also, each of the adults along, Ken did one, Denise did one, Michelle did one, and Al did one, a devotion. So they didn't have to hear Mike all the time, which was a good break. Next slide. So there was many different passes that you go through to get over the mountains. And you can see on the left, that's on the way up. We got a shot of the two New Holland boys there, AJ and Micah. Beautiful scenery. But you can see we're all gloved up and jacketed up. You can see here, this is Lolo Pass, one of the passes. High of 68, I don't think so. Low of 44, yeah, that was more like it. 5,225 feet. And it was raining. Yeah. We all went inside the visitor center just to warm up because it was just so cold. So, next slide. Once you get across the mountains of Washington and come down the other side, it's a whole nother world. All the rain falls on the other side and all the moisture is out. And the other side was like almost desert, arid-like. Washington State, this would be eastern Washington State. It's a whole nother thing. And here we're actually on a bike trail, got us off the roads. This is AJ Vega in the morning talking with some folks. They oftentimes in the motels, they would have these breakfasts that were included. Sometimes they're really good hot breakfasts with eggs and bacon and make your own waffles and cereals and all kinds of things. And other times they're pretty skimpy. But here AJ's talking to these two folks about the trip and what we're doing. And we had these little cards that they made up. And we would hand these out all the time to people. Has a picture of the team on the back, our website, and a scripture. And people really appreciated these little cards. And oftentimes they said, we're going to follow you as you go on your trip. Then they go online and follow us. And it's pretty neat. Okay, Scott. And we met all kinds of people. I was really expecting more opportunities to share my faith with those who didn't know the Lord. That didn't happen really. I was looking for them but we ran into a lot of Christians that were so encouraging to us, and they were so encouraged to know that there's this group that are mentoring young men and young women and through biking and we're doing this trip, and they were just really encouraged. People all over the place, in motels, in gift shops, and wherever, just along the road. Like this couple were riding across the country together on a bike for two with all their gear. This was a worker that I had to climb in because they had construction and going across a pass, they wouldn't let us ride. And this guy was riding, and she printed my t-shirt, and people that are just all along the way. This man was so encouraged by Life Cycles. He's in Idaho and Christian, and he's the only person he knows that bikes in his area at all. And he has this application on his phone that we have that's called Strava, and it tallies up how many miles and your elevation and where you went. And he had one follower on Strava, and now he has 10 because of Life Cycles. He has been so encouraging to us the whole trip, and this is near the beginning where we met it. But we met a wonderful people along the way. Next slide. I always would say, you can't believe that there's a population explosion or a population problem, because you go through parts of eastern Washington and Montana and North Dakota, there is nothing as far as you can see in any direction. No people, no houses, no nothing. And I was fascinated by that. It's like, wow, as far as you can see, just this.
And you saw Wheatfield.
Yes, we did. And of course, we had flats. We had a total of 46 flats on the trip. I thought that was pretty good. A lot of new tires, a lot of new tubes, and yeah. I had three. I had two in Washington State, and they were both leaks in my tubes that were bad, and then I had a flat in Pennsylvania from a piece of wire from a retread from a truck. But next slide. And we had to cross rivers. We had just great expanses. Michelle tried very hard to pick places that had pools or hot tubs or for the kids. And they've really much appreciated it. Here they are all eight in the hot tub in Eastern Washington. I thought, oh, that's a good shot. So we just took it. Next one. We were going east, of course, and we were following for a long, long time what was called the Lewis and Clark Trail. It's exactly the route that Lewis and Clark took when they made their adventure across and back. And so we would see these Lewis and Clark signs day after day after day for several weeks. I thought that was interesting. Here we're riding up and up and up and up. It was about 12 miles of up along this stream, and of course it was coming down, really pretty. And we got to our places, a lot of these little cabins that the kids were staying in, and they told us about this natural hot spring nearby, and so we said, why not? And so we all went there and hopped in the hot spring, and that was a nice treat. Next slide. And you can go to the next one. We would take a day off every 7 or 8 days just to give the kids and the adults a rest.
I heard that.
Yeah. Some of the kids didn't ride a whole lot to begin with. Some of them only had a couple hundred miles this year before we started, where I had 6,000 miles already before the trip started this year, and I had 12,000 last year, so that was money in the bank for me, personally. And I could recover and feel fine the next day and had no issues. And I praise the Lord for that. On the rest days, we would go hiking. We did that three different rest days, and then the kids revolted and said, no more hikes, we want to just sit, because they were really getting tired. But Michelle would seek out places for us to go that wouldn't cost us a lot of money, and it would be interesting. And we would do these hikes in the beginning. This hike was back to see a couple of waterfalls. I didn't put any pictures into the waterfalls, but it just shows you there was a forest fire there. And I thought, well, that probably was just a couple of years ago. But it was like 12 years ago that the fire came through, and that's how it looked. The trees were no more than this big. And but as the verse in Isaiah 63 says, beauty for ashes, out of the ashes came beauty. All these pictures of flowers were on that hike. Beautiful, beautiful. So yeah, the Lord does redeem things and give beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. That's Isaiah 61:3. You can go to the next slide. Anytime we came into a new state, it was a time to celebrate. So we made it to Idaho. And we were in the thin part of Idaho, so it didn't take long to get across to where in the next state. Go ahead. Montana. Montana, I believe, was my favorite state of all the states. Yeah, the beauty of the mountains. It would just be mountains on either side, snow-capped mountains, and we're riding through. And we'd have to, of course, go across them. But this day, we were going down this descent. We, of course, long ascent to get there, and then long descent. It was about 12 or 15 miles downhill, and Al stayed at the top and was recording us going down through. So I sent that to Lou. But, yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. Go ahead, next slide. We stayed in this little town called Jackson. Montana. And you can see how busy it is. That's me sitting on the double yellow line. Ken, our driver, looked both ways as he was getting ready to cross, and there was a guy sitting on his porch said, "You don't need to do that." Because there's nobody there. The hotel wasn't even going to be open. They opened just for us coming through. And the hotel had with it a hot springs. It's called Jackson Hot Springs. And this was so hot you could barely get in it, and it was natural. They didn't do anything but make a pool to hold the water, and it was so hot. It's like, And that was the lobby of the hotel there with all the trophies and stuff that had devotions there. But the place that we ate supper, they only had 3 hamburgers left and 1 beef dinner, and we cleaned them out of all their food because nobody's ever there. I mean, we like doubled the population of the town when we showed up. You can go to the next slide. And you can see we went through what's called the Bitterroot Valley. Just beautiful. And of course, we had some issues along the way. Here it was AJ's turn. He was struggling that day to just keep up, just really hurting physically. And so we stopped, and I was praying for him, and someone took a picture. I don't know who took this particular picture, but yeah, we gave the kids support and prayer when they needed it, and it was needed oftentimes. And that's just me on my specialized bike. So, and yeah, I think that's just beautiful. I mean, people look at that and say, it just looks like nothing. But I thought it was just beautiful, beautiful. Next slide. On one of our days off, we got to go to this man's ranch. His name's Brett. He was a co-worker with our director, Lee DeReamer. He was also in the Air Force. He's a retired Air Force guy. And Lee said, he's like the Marlboro man but doesn't smoke. He was a tough cookie. He had this ranch with thousands of acres and took time off, him and his son, to give us a tour. So we actually followed this ATV they had with our van off-road up on top of this hill to look over the valley and his ranch. And just beautiful up on the hill there. He took, I bet it was 2.5-3 hours to show us around his whole place, and very, very a godly man and very hospitable. And he told us about this place nearby that we drove to right after this. It's this cliff. It was about 35, 40 feet up, and they were jumping and going in. All but one of the boys did it, and Michelle did it. I didn't want to do it, and Al didn't want to do it. But so I was taking pictures and taking videos of all these kids and working up their nerve to go off the edge. So that was one of our days off. Next slide. But the show must go on. Upper left, we went through various construction sites. You can imagine going across the country, you're going to run into construction. Some places they left us go through. There was all sandy and a mess, but we kept going. Of course, flat on the right again. In the middle on the top, we would do bike maintenance. Usually about once a week, we would actually take our bikes all apart, clean them, lube them, whatever was needed, readjusting the brakes, and go from there. And this is the road that's going to Yellowstone. Go down here and around this mountain, and Yellowstone's on the other side. And went through this forest to get there. Okay, that's me, by the way. Next slide. And we got to Yellowstone. I'd never been to Yellowstone. I think only one of our boys was in Yellowstone before. So it was really an eye-opening thing for most of us. I don't know how many of you have been to Yellowstone. The most interesting thing are the geothermal features. Of course, Old Faithful in the bottom left there. But I enjoy going in Old Faithful Lodge. That was an interesting thing. But just these thermal features are just really fascinating. One of our days off, we took a hike through Yellowstone. We actually took 2 days to be there so we could see a little more and not just go through it. But on our hikes back to this lake, all of a sudden we had a visitor coming the other way. Of course, you can see where I'm taking the picture from, the other side. My roommate, Al, didn't move. He just stood there, and this thing kept coming. He was within here to that pole of this bison. I don't think that's a good idea, but it walked by. He stood off the path, and it just walked by him. And so he got some really good shots of the bison. You go to the next slide. And of course, when you're out biking and you're hot, the kids would go in these streams, and they were frigid. I mean, oh, ice cold, these little streams and so forth. This was as we were leaving Yellowstone. There were all these elk in the shade at this building that was owned by the Park Service, and the young one was nursing for mom right there, these elk. And we drove out of the actual Yellowstone. And the first time we came to it, this little football field, it was a, you know, they don't have big schools and stuff, but it was just a little bleachers and a football field. In the middle of the football field was about 8 elk all feeding on this green grass. I'm thinking, you don't see that in Pennsylvania. Olive Garden. We went to Olive Garden twice, and all you can eat soup and salad and breadsticks for these boys. Oh my, that's poor servers. All they did was carry food all night. Next slide. And then we came to the Rocky Mountains. There's no way to get across the United States without going across Rocky Mountains. And so we went across this pass called Beartooth Pass, which Lee DeRemer, our director, had ridden in 2009 with 2 nephews. And this gives you a little bit of idea of the elevation. It, from mile 12, it goes up to mile 38. So we're talking about 27 miles of uphill. 27 miles uphill. Yeah, that's what I said. At elevation, it was almost 11,000 feet where we went up to. And I had had issues with elevation before, with headaches and not feeling good. And the good thing was we had been riding at elevation for about a week or more, where we were at 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 feet. So our bodies were slowly adjusting. My brother-in-law said, take a couple of baby aspirins before you go. And I had no issues. I went right up and had no issues at all physically. I was so glad. But the beauty of this is the pictures don't do it justice. I mean, you can just see on and on and on. This is the road. You can see the road kind of winding along, coming up. And in fact, I took so many videos and photographs, by the time we got to the top, my phone was dead. I didn't have anything to take on the way down, so I said to the kids, take pictures for me. So I have them. We would share them on Google Images, this where we could put all our pictures. So the top was 10,947 feet. The problem is you have to go down then. Next slide. Oh, here we are in the top, the whole team on the top. This shows you where it's located in the midst of, it's both in Wyoming down here and in Montana. That's the highway we were on where it's located. And I found this picture online. This would be the way up. Talk about scenery. It's just awesome. I mean, if you don't believe there's a God after looking at some of this scenery, I mean, there's no way. By the way, all the boys were Christians. They all had received the Lord, and each of the leaders were Christians on the trip, too. Just beautiful. Next one. This is the way down. We were concerned about the way down because these boys like to fly. I mean, they like to go fast. They like descending. We split up into 3 groups. A leader took each group, and they couldn't go in front of the leader, or they'd sit in the van for a day. That was the deal. Not get in front of the leader. And we kept them all safe on the way down. Now, these are not my photographs. These are the ones that are published. But you can see this. Look at the drop-offs here at the end of these hairpin curves. So you can see why we're wanting these boys to keep it under control. I mean, there were some guardrails there, but those guardrails are this high. You hit that with a bike, hello, I'm skydiving without a chute. Yeah, it could be that. It could be nasty, but yeah, They loved it. The boys loved it. My hands were sore from breaking. But what a trip down. And look at the mountains again. It's like, wow. Wow, Beartooth Pass. And we met these people, and they're like, you rode up that? We have a hard time driving up it, you know, or riding our motorcycles. So it was an accomplishment to get up and get down and be in one piece. So they were ahead of us. Basically, they would go 20 miles ahead of us and park unless we needed something. They'd come back and pick up a kid or give us a new, not a tube. We would have tubes on our bikes and air to inflate them, but if sometimes a tire would actually need to be replaced and we had extra tires in the trailer. So they would kind of just get ahead of us. It would be about 20 miles or so ahead. And then they would also set out a lunch for us at lunchtime. But they took the van and the trailer over all this as well. You go to the next slide. That was probably the highlight for most of us on the trip was that Beartooth Pass and those roads. It was just, and then we hit North Dakota. This is what North Dakota looks like. Just roads that go on, like I call it a ribbon of highway that disappears. And there's no houses, no farms, nothing. Just goes on and on. And rolling hills. They say, oh, it's really flat. It was up or down the whole way almost. Of course, we're cleaning bikes, a flat. This guy's name is Zach Miller. He rode with us today in North Dakota. He's an ultramarathoner from Lancaster County, and he's sponsored full-time by North Face and other companies because he's really good at running races 50 miles or longer over mountains. Can you imagine running races over 50 miles? Well, that's what he does for a living. And so he just joined us to just ride bike with us for a day. And the kids, that was pretty cool. You can go to the next slide, Scott. This is a lunch spot where we were one day, and you can just on and on. There's no shade because there's no trees, so we just sat on the gravel road, made our lunch. One place we had to divert off of North Dakota because there was construction, and the locals said, you don't want to go on that road, it's really bad. So we went actually down in South Dakota and then back up into North Dakota. So it gave us another state to kind of go on. Next slide. I did like North Dakota. That was pretty. And there I was with my bike out in this green field. Eventually we made it across North Dakota. Our director said, you got to get across the Great Plains somewhere. If not through Kansas, it's going to be North Dakota. But we made it. And we came to Minnesota, the land of many lakes. This is Xander. He's flipping and into the water. So he would do flips everywhere we go. At Old Faithful, he'd flip as it's going off, and they put it on videos. He was a flipper. Okay, next slide. Eventually, we made it to Wisconsin. Humongous bridge to get from Minnesota to Wisconsin. I mean, that was, I bet, 3.5 miles long, this bridge. And they had a bike lane. Oh, that was so nice. We didn't feel like our lives were in danger. Occasionally, we come across a bike trail. This was a bike trail we were on. And it's just good to get off the roads. I would say of the percent, we might have had 1% of bike trails for our ride. It wasn't much, but where we could, we did. Next slide. And then into Michigan. It was Montana and Michigan we spent the most days riding. We were 10 days in Michigan because we went across the Upper Peninsula and then down Michigan. I mean, look how big that sign is where I'm standing. That is a big Michigan sign. And of course, Sasquatch was everywhere, so I would get pictures. But you can see what we got here. This is gravel. There's no shoulder. And you see what's going on here. Look at this big truck coming. I don't know how they got this picture taken, but I didn't take this particular one. So we're always alert, always on high alert. You really couldn't oftentimes get real comfortable because you had to be aware of what's going on. You're always pointing out gravel, glass, junk on the road, and we're always telling each other so we know to avoid this. Holes, you know, or you get flats, and then we're stuck waiting for someone to change your tire. It takes long. And anytime we get some place to, this was right off the bike trail one time, I saw this big thing. I said, let's go get a picture. And so we would get a group picture, a couple of them sitting in his hand there. You can go to the next slide. So we were biking across the Upper Peninsula here. We went to Marquette and all the way over to here and then came down this way. This is in this little town, a city called Marquette on Lake Superior. And there were these big concrete things. And I thought, what the heck is that? They were built in the early 1900s. This one is not connected anymore. There's a railroad that would go to the top of that. And cars would take iron ore and dump them. And those chutes would come down and fill barges. And they'd haul it off to get processed. And there's still one of them working only about 2 miles away that was even built earlier than this one that's still being used. And the barge was coming in one evening. So it was kind of interesting. Some places we stayed actually had kayaks and canoes and stuff for the kids to use so they could get out and do things. Oftentimes we would set up a lunch right along the lake or wherever we're at that was a nice place to eat, and we'd have our lunch there. This would be our morning kind of routine. This is right, the lake's right behind there. Everybody get their bikes out of the back of the trailer, pump up the tires, make sure the chain's lubed and all that kind of stuff, and off we go. Evenings, we'd, if there was a place to go that was nice, we would. This was off Lake Superior, and of course, kids are skipping stones. You can imagine, boys. They're rolling stones, skipping stones, throwing stones. They're just boys. And of course, me. Next slide. Yeah, go back one, Scott. Right here, the Upper Peninsula, the three lakes come together. We were on Lake Michigan for a while, Lake Superior for a long while, and Lake Huron a long while, too. And right up here is, I can't read it, it says Mackinac Bridge, but right here is Mackinac Island, and I think the Brubakers were there. Go to the next slide. And this is our day off, so to speak. We had a period of time there for 2 weeks. This would be our day off, but we rode bike there. We had about 20 miles that day. That was a day off for us. 20 miles was easy a day off. Mackinac was an island where there's no cars allowed. So only way to get around is bicycles or horse-drawn carriages, and there's horse poop everywhere. Everywhere. It's turn-of-the-century kind of architecture, and a lot of people that don't know how to ride bike there. Kids, you know, looking this way and going that way. And our kids are like, it's dangerous here. But it's a beautiful place, and we spent the better part of the day there. And so, next slide. And then we came down along, that was Lake Superior in the top. That was one day. The one evening, it was crystal, like glass. It was, people were swimming, and it was warm and sunny. And the next morning, it's these major waves coming in, and windy as could be, and raining. Not nice, not nice. This is one of the places we stayed on Lake Huron. Of course, we're having devotions there on this little deck, looking over Lake Huron. That water is absolutely crystal clear, as far down as you can see. 10, 12, 20 feet, absolutely crystal clear. It's amazing. I was never on any of the Great Lakes before, so we were on Superior, Michigan, Huron, and then Lake Erie. We got to see all four of those. We didn't get to Ontario, but it was fascinating for me. Next one. Eventually, we came down through Michigan, which was the worst roads and the worst traffic and worst drivers. Our lives were in danger in Michigan more than anywhere else, and we thought for sure we were going to be killed. Not really, but I mean, the drivers, they would just go when other cars were coming the other way and force people off the road, completely off the road, or they would have hit head on. And that happened a dozen times at least leaving Ann Arbor. It was horrific. I was so glad to be out of there. Eventually, we did make it to Ohio, and we had a day off in Cleveland. So we went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Wow. Not my favorite thing. We were walking around and downtown. And then the next day, our route took us through Cleveland. It was a Sunday morning. And the bike trail went right by the Brown Stadium, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and then along Lake Erie for many miles. It was really pretty. It was nice. And it was kind of traffic in the morning, but you see, a Sunday morning, you can see it wasn't much. So it was a good time to be riding in downtown Cleveland on a Sunday morning. Next slide. Yes, and we had rain, heavy rain. A couple of times it rained so hard you could hardly see to ride, and the rain was coming down like sideways. It was blowing, and here we were on our way to Erie, Pennsylvania, and it was pouring. So we're underneath this gas station overhang where you can fill up your car, and you can see it's just pouring out there, pouring. And our leader, Michelle, would say, I think we just need to go. And as soon as she'd say go, it just come down even harder. It's like, it was really, she did that twice. And it just, the skies opened up. And she'd say, we need to get going. We're like, no. Eventually, we had to go. And we knew we were just going to get soaked and cold and just suck it up. Of course, there we're fixing a flat tire in the rain. Yeah. Next one. We actually, if you know Pennsylvania, on the upper left, it goes like this up to Lake Erie. And that little section there, we kind of came through New York to come down to Pennsylvania. And so we got to the Empire State a little bit and started looking kind of Pennsylvania-like. Next slide. And then we got to Pennsylvania. There was some hooting and hollering then because we're closing in on getting to home. Yeah, go ahead, next one. And we came through Wellsboro and came down Pine Creek, along Pine Creek for many, many miles. So you know where we're at there a little bit. I was photobombing my friend Al here. That's why I'm riding by, going, being goofy. But that's from Wellsboro. That's winking, blinking, and nodding her wooden shoe in that fountain there. But this was a gravel road. We had to take a detour up this gravel road, really steep up for about a mile and a half, and then really steep down, about the same. The kids, it was, they could not go. So we didn't have to worry about them going too fast, but our hands were so sore and tired from gripping on the brakes. The guys with disc brakes were pushing so hard, they were glowing red. They heated up that hot from coming down this steep hill. It was wild. Never seen the like. And this is the guy we met. His nickname was Rad. That's all I know him by. He met us. He was heading across country, same direction we were going. Next slide. And then we got to Jersey Shore. That's a bridge of Jersey Shore. And Ben and Brooke came over to visit and ate dinner with the team that night. So that's first I saw family. So I had some big hugs from them. Brooke's mother came over and father came over and gave me hugs and gave us a big bag of chocolate chip cookies, too, for the gang. And this is the top of a hill we went up outside of Jersey Shore, and that's A.J. Vega. He said, I'm done. He was exhausted. It was a steep hill. And Pennsylvania hills are different than Rockies. The Rockies have a certain incline, and you just do that, and you just pedal, 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 and just keep going. But Pennsylvania, it is steeper. The inclines are much steeper. This was like 15 or more percent at places, where out there would be 5 or 6. So we're talking a much steeper incline. And this is how we started every morning. We would get a quote from Lee DeRemer of somebody, and a scripture, and prayer. Started every morning with prayer. And this is Pennsylvania. It was cold. I mean, it was in the 40s that morning. It was just downright cold. Next slide. So we got to go through Sealings Grove. You know where all those traffic lights are and all those businesses? And we rode through there. It actually has bike route signs up. Can you imagine? We came by Dreamers, stopped there. I treated all the kids. I treated the kids a lot to ice cream and milkshakes and things like that. In the end, Life Cycles decided they're going to pay the way for all the leaders. I didn't have to pay. So I was very generous in buying ice cream, milkshakes, drinks, this and that all along the way, and didn't feel bad at all about it. I could really bless the kids with that. Our church's donation went to the whole trip. We're not sure how that's coming out financially wise yet, but I think we'll be all right. But I thought I'd put this in. This is 11 and 15 right there at the Red Rabbit, and the bridge right after it, that's where we had to ride. Yeah. I got a flat tire in 11 and 15. Eventually, we got to Harrisburg and got on the Greenbelt. And you can see how it looks here. This is the same day. Same day. The cloud, the all that left, and it got to be beautiful. And we got to come down along the river in Harrisburg, the Greenbelt. It's a bike trail, running trail. You can go next slide. And then that hooks up. We had to go 441 for a little bit and got on the Northwest River Trail. Does this look familiar? That's the bridge underneath the river trail. And, of course, we do. That's one of Life Cycle's Tuesday night rides is at the river trail. So this is home turf. I mean, we're cruising now. And at the end of the river trail there, Columbia, there's a pavilion and so forth. A couple of the mothers made us a beautiful lunch, and we met up with some other Life Cycles leaders, and we kind of were there. WJAL was supposed to be there, but somebody got shot in York and had to go there to cover that instead. So go figure. At any rate. So you go to the next slide. From there, we rode across the bridge of Columbia up to Wrightsville to our leader's home. He actually lives in a barn. It's a barn that's made into a home. And all the kids and all the leaders stayed there that night. And they have an in-ground pool. And that evening, all the parents and the siblings, just immediate family of those who were on the trip, could come. And Turkey Hill donated ice cream and drinks, more than we could eat or drink, for all the visitors. And then these are the boys up there. The parents could ask questions, and they could tell about their story, at this point at least, up to where we were. And it was a nice night. And so I got to see Luann for the first time. 58 days. I miss my wife and my family. I got homesick. I did. That's a long time to be away. So it was good to see her and the family. But we had two more days of riding yet. Next slide. This was a professional photographer was on the bridge. Took that of the gang coming across the Columbia Bridge. And I went ahead of the group because I knew this gang was waiting for me at the other side of the bridge. And when the team got there, they weren't going to stop. They just kept going. And you didn't want to get behind the team because it's hard to catch up. Our average speed was 15 miles an hour for the whole trip. But on the flats and so forth, we'd be going 17, 18, up to 20 miles an hour, just cruising along. And I could stay with them. But you didn't want to get behind, because it takes a lot to catch up when you're going next kind of speed. So anyway, this is Caleb and Kim and Noah and Owen and Luann, and that's me just catching on the back of the team there as they came through, and I got to talk to them before that all happened. You can go to the next one, Scott. And then there's Lancaster County. We went through southern Lancaster County. This was our second hilliest day of the whole trip. We had over 5,000 feet of elevation gain in southern Lancaster County. We had just a couple hundred feet more to get over Bear Tooth Pass. That tells you how hilly it is in southern Lancaster County. And we went up and down all day, and it was hard. Next slide. And then we got to Maryland, and then we got to Delaware. We stayed, our last night was Middleton, Delaware, which is the northern part of Delaware, and we had a 76-mile ride the next day to get to Lewis and Cape Henlopen. And so this is going across the Delaware Canal. You got to get across that somewhere. Next slide. Cape Henlopen. That was our destination. There was actually this bike trail that went under Route 1 and took us right near the park, and we could go through Lewiston, and then, of course, the last thing to do is to get to the ocean. Next slide. Atlantic Ocean. I think our kids said that's the biggest smile they've seen on Mom. Yeah. Next one. Front tires in the ocean. Of course, there was a lot of hooping and hollering and celebrating. All the parents came down. It was a cloudy, overcast day the whole day until we got to Lewis and the sun came out. It was beautiful at the beach then. And the next slide. And one more. I think this is the last one. Someone had the idea, let's all go in. And so we did. Even the old guy in the gray hair on the far left got in. And then the pictures and the celebrating began. This is Lee DeRemer, our director, after we got in the water. That's Michelle and myself thanking him for everything. So you can leave that up there, Scott. So what did I learn from the trip? You know, there were a lot of hard times in this trip in a variety of ways, between the being physically stressed, emotionally drained, and relationally stressed. You know, when you're tired physically and having to do things that are really hard, what you didn't know was in you comes out in all of us. Like I said, we're all Christians on this ride. And I learned that when the heat's on, the impurities rise to the top. I learned this in college. I was, of course, an art teacher, and I had to take a jewelry-making course in college. And to cast silver and gold, you had to heat it up, and when that was molten, glowing orange, only then could you see the impurities. They came to the top, and you had to scrape them off, and then you could cast your piece after you scraped it off. And only after you scrape off that crud, you can look in that molten metal and you can see your own image. You can see the image of the maker only after they're scraped off. That's when you get rid of the impurities. And yes, indeed, during the trip, many times what wasn't visible became visible in all of us, myself included. And pride, ego, fears, insecurities, self-centeredness, anger, bitterness, complaining, you name it, it rose to the top in all of us at different times. And we had to learn to extend grace and give grace and forgive one another. And I'd like to share a part of my final devotion to the team in Middleton, Delaware. It was day 59 of 60. And I reminded them of our first devotion, where I started with a quote from Dr. Seuss, "Oh, the places you'll go. You're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting. Get on your way." Our mountain was waiting, all right. And I told them at this final devotion that the Christian life should be like a great adventure, like this trip we were on. That's how the Christian life is supposed to be. Many non-Christians and even some Christians think the believer's life is somehow boring, as you can't have any fun because you can't do this, you can't do that. That's just a lie from the pit of hell. That's all that is. But the truth be told, God wants our lives to be a great adventure, one with Him. Holy Spirit lives inside us and desires to partner with us in kingdom work. And Holy Spirit's continually looking for someone, men and women of God, to cooperate with Him and partner with Him to bring about God's purposes no matter if you're on a trip across the country biking or if you're just in a local grocery store. He has divine appointments for us. Glenn calls them God stops. Is that what you call them? What do you call them? That is, yeah. Whatever you want to call it, they're there waiting. And they were waiting for us along our way. We had different times where we met people and encouraged people. And I had to think of the example from Philip from Acts chapter 8. Philip was nobody special. He was a deacon. He helped to feed the widows. That was his main role. But God had him go to Samaria, this city, and God used him there greatly. There was healings, deliverances, and many people came into the Lord in that city. And it says in Acts that there was great joy in that city. And in the midst of this great revival, God sends an angel and says to Philip, I want you to go here to this road at the desert, and sit there. And Philip said, okay. And he went. Did that make any sense to leave this great revival and go sit in the desert along a road? No, didn't to me. I'm sure it didn't to him either. While he was sitting there, this Ethiopian eunuch comes along, was reading the word out of Isaiah about Jesus and his suffering on the cross, but didn't know it was Jesus, didn't understand it. And the Holy Spirit says, it says very distinctly, the Holy Spirit says to Philip, run to that chariot. And he gets up and runs down to the chariot, and he listens to him reading about Isaiah, and he says, do you understand what you're reading? He says, no, how can I if no one is here to teach him? And he taught him about Jesus, saying how Jesus fulfilled those scriptures. And then that eunuch said, what prevents me from being baptized? And there was water there, and he got baptized, and the Holy Spirit took Philip and put him in this other city 20 miles away. Like that. I don't understand how that works. But Philip should be no different than you or I. There's appointments waiting for us. And just be willing to go. And I said this verse to the kids. Isaiah in chapter 6. Isaiah was in God's presence and knew he was a sinful man, and he had the angel take a coal, I don't know if you remember this or not, and he touched it to his lips and says, you are cleansed. And then God says, who will go for us? Whom shall I send? And Isaiah says, here am I. Send me. So I told the kids, I said, you just need to be willing to go. He'll use you no matter where you're at. Here am I, send me. And so that's his call to all of us. Be willing, ready to go wherever he sends us. And you know, after all those days of doing those devotions, you wonder, did it make any difference? And then I got a text from one of the boys. It said, Mike, I'm a Christian, but I had not been close to the Lord. I have not been doing any devotions of any kind. And he said, all these devotions have been so, so helpful to me. I feel completely different, and I don't want it to stop. What can I do to keep close to the Lord? And so I texted him some different ideas, and Luann and I ordered him a book by Tony Evans for young men, a devotional book. We'll get and give to him this week, and just I need to keep in contact with him now and just hold him accountable to keep going with the Lord. So yes, the Lord was faithful, yeah, through the whole trip. And yes, it was a epic journey, and I didn't mind the biking. I really enjoyed the biking. There wasn't a day I got up and said, I got a bike again. I would say to the kids, guess what? And they'd be like, what? We get to bike today. And that became a joke then with the other people. Guess what, Mike? We get to bike today. But I did. I enjoyed the biking. I didn't have issues with the biking. Not even back here. I was good. But It was a long trip, and I was glad to be home. And God was faithful through the whole trip, though. He really was. So let's pray. Thank you, Father. You are good. You are faithful. Thank you for all the people that were interceding on our behalf that whole trip. There were many close calls, Lord. And yet you watched over us and kept us safe, kept our families safe back home, too. And Lord, I pray that all that was done and said was not in vain, but that the lives of these young men and the lives of the leaders, too, would be forever changed, that they would be drawn nearer to you than they ever have before, and that this one young man would not be the only one that's readjusting his life to be closer to you and walk with you. So thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening. And thanks for your prayers. My goodness. What's that? And the box of goodies. Absolutely. Luann sent a box of cookies early on, and they were devoured almost immediately. And then we got New Beginnings goodie box, and we took care of business there, too.